CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, good Monday morning, and Leanne and Bolelo are here with us this morning, and we are ready to hear from you. You can get hold of us on the comments on YouTube if you're watching us live, or if you're listening live, and you can also send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com. I want to hear from you how your weekend was. Good Lord, I had so much rain here at home. Felt like I was going to wash away, particularly on Saturday. It just did not stop coming down. I felt like I was in some kind of Noah flood movie. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's good. We need it. We need it in this, you know, wash out the bad energy.
Do we need more water? I mean, it really does feel like everything is just soaked. Everything you walk on outside goes squelch, squelch, squelch at the moment. Not great.
And it's just getting started.
It's not what I signed up for, you know. Like a South African summer, you expect more hot days, sunny days.
Yeah. I think if you told me that it was going to be winter next week, I'd feel very cheated of summer this year.
I know. I do hope that this is going...
blanket on my knees like an old lady.
Well, listen, it was chilly this weekend. I mean, it was not the kind of weather we all signed up for. And I hope that summer will come, even if it's late. Anyway, boring people talk about the weather, they tell me. So let's talk about something else. Bolelo, you sorted out, this is like linked to what we spoke about with Dr. Hanan just now, but it might be the kind of thing many people can identify with. You settled a 7-year beef that you had with somebody.
And it wasn't intentional. It didn't start with me, because I am not a forgiving person. Once you have wronged me, you are completely dead to me, right? But
what happened?
So there was this incident years ago. And yes, there was a lady involved, as always, blah, blah, blah. But essentially, this guy sent messages about me to this lady at the time. And so it ended our friendship, right? Because he had a whole different set of information than she had, whatever, whatever. So he sent me a message last week, actually, Instagram or Facebook, in DMs. You know, oh, congratulations, I see you working with Gareth Cliff, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I said to him, okay, cool, thanks for all of this. He asked for my number, gave me a call. We had a conversation last week on the phone about that whole situation and just about what he's doing. And then I was like, you know what, bro? This is an issue still, because it affected people within the friendship group. And I was like, let's have a coffee, because I want to talk the whole situation through. And I'm just that kind of person. I don't like tension. I don't do tension. Let's talk about it or let it go. Anyway, turns out we talked it out as grown men do. And from my side, I mean, we're not going to be mates just because I'm not a forgiving person. But it's over now from my side in terms of sort of any animosity that I had felt for him. And it was quite nice to see him kind of address his side of the situation. So it was a pretty cool feeling. Who knew? Who knew that?
You know what? In my very limited experience, because I don't really have a whole lot of issues that I carry around or long-term vendettas, and I don't have deep-seated hate relationships with people. I just find it's a complete waste of time. And frankly, I don't have the attention span for it. So I forget very quickly when I'm angry with someone. But I've often found that as a result of that, I'm prepared to sit down and talk to people, even if I don't necessarily feel that there's still an issue, but they do. And it always goes better than I thought. It never goes worse. I always end up sitting down with them and you go like, actually, there's no point in us hating each other at this point. Let's just move on. Just get on with it.
That's exactly how it went. Because I was just like, okay, well, this person's dead to me. That's how we're moving now. And it went way better than I thought. You know, he's doing really well. And I'm in a place where I'm content in my life. So I want everyone to be happy. And yeah, it was.
There's no hard feeling.
Certainly not from my side. No. I think it was just awesome to see that he's also, because it had been on his heart for a long time as well. Because the way we handled it at the time, and I was just like, listen, we both have to take responsibility as well. It's not just him, just because I'm resentful towards him, is everyone was involved. And we're older now. Like, I'm older now. I can't move like I'm 25 anymore. It's crazy. And you got to look at it in hindsight and say, could have handled it better from both of our sides. And whatever, dude, I want you to do well, was basically how we ended it off, you know. And I'm ecstatic for him that, because it was a huge weight on his shoulders. And I didn't realize that because, again, to me, the situation didn't exist anymore. But it was an awesome thing. It just felt really, really positive and a great way to end the year from my side anyway.
Well, I don't know how people can carry around anger and some kind of
resentment.
Verrubles, they call it resentment in your life. In Yiddish, they say verrubles. I don't know how you can carry that around for as long as some people do. And, you know, again, like we talk about families and getting together around Christmas. There's some families who haven't spoken to each other. They're members of the family that haven't spoken to each other for years in some of these places. Mm. I'm like, really? It's just insane, and it feels so much better. You relieve yourself of a burden when you just make up with somebody who you had stupid reasons for being angry with in the first place. Because actually, like, down the roads 5-6 years later, if you're still harboring those grudges, that shows me that you're not really a serious person. You can't be taken seriously. You're just a bit of a weak, feeble individual.
You're spending your coins and throwing them down the drain.
Right on. So well done. Even though you didn't want to do this, it wasn't on your agenda. You were the one who made the lunch happen. You made the coffee happen. And therefore, you got it out of the way. I think that's great. We did start off this year with a list of, like, we did add one thing a week to the list of things that we're going to do to improve ourselves. And I think we just ran out of things to do somewhere around month 5. But one of the first things we did was, like, call up someone who you've got an issue with. And fix it. Make it go away. Make up. Become friends again. Or don't become friends again, but at least put that issue away, which is exactly what you've done here. So someone brought up here, and I love this. David says, let's discuss the mainstream media view on rage. Greg Walsh, who's actually a friend of mine, put out an excellent video at the right time. Us in the events industry are gutful. And I think a lot of people are talking about that video because it's out of control. Like, they're trying to blame somebody for, like the second wave was blamed on rage, even though his events were tiny and weren't even the source of the spread. But Patrick says, media went crazy at the two rage events, but at the height of wave 3, nothing about the toxic and Kandla event gatherings and Carl Niehaus breaking 3 COVID laws. Yeah, it depends on who you are. If they can blame you for something, then they don't have to blame themselves, right? So I don't know what's going on there, but I think it might be worth getting Greg on the show because he put out a very sensible, very sober video about, like, hey, you know, the events industry is being blamed for things where actually this would have happened with or without their events. So I think it's worth talking to him.
And now he made a great point at the end of the video. If you think Oaks aren't jawling now just because it's not happening under the framework of Greg's testing, Oaks are out here. They're not canceling. They are not canceling their accommodation. Did you see did you see the video of that surfer guy? We just want to party. The guys just want to.
Yo, we bleak.
The guys who were interviewed.
Just want a party.
Firstly, they're shirtless. I'm like, you're on the news.
So bleak.
They're shirtless. And this guy's accent was hilarious as well. He said, now they've cancelled the whole event.
He's such a South African. It's like, I was bodyboarding.
Love it.
And then I came out and I heard it. And it just wasn't a vibe. I was just so bleak.
Yeah.
I just want to party. But we're going to make the best of it. We're just going to party. Because they're still going to go on, right? And I know...
And there won't be tasting and all the protocols in place like you were great.
And listen, I know everyone likes to... Everyone's so evolved now. There are going to be girls in bikinis and dudes with 5 rand shots. If you think COVID's not going to spread now... Oh,
of course.
Boy, oh boy.
But it's the whole year. Do you think people have been... hiding in fear? The whole year. So, all right.
Let's talk about
something which is actually quite useful here. Apparently, Leanne has information about this. There's a study they've just published about how honeybee venom can cure breast cancer.
Yeah, I'm always, you know, loath to share this sort of information because I don't want people to think, oh my gosh, well, there's a cure now and Leanne said that it works. But
also because you talk about breasts all the time. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. There has been a new study carried out. Unfortunately, it happened in Western Australia, but let's put that aside. Test involved taking the venom from more than 300 honeybees and bumblebees. And the venom was used against two types of aggressive, very hard to treat breast cancer. They found that a compound in the venom called melittin could destroy breast cancer cells within an hour and not cause harm to other cells. I just think that's amazing. Wow. If this has been around for so many years and, you know, I mean, the chances of somebody saying, I wonder if bee venom would work, are very, very slim. And to think it's been around all along this time. So this substance in there helps form pores in the cancer cell membrane, which also allows therapies to better penetrate these cells.
So they didn't, because I always in my mind, because I'm so childish and stupid, I have like this idea that they strap down all these women who are suffering from breast cancer and like sting them with fucking bees. Obviously, that's not what they're doing. They do this in a lab and they test it under microscopes and they're busy watching the pores between the cell walls. I mean, it's properly scientific. But in my head, I'm like they're strapping these women down and like stinging their breasts with bees.
No, definitely in a lab setting. These weren't animal models. it's just amazing to see that there's a breakthrough. Because we all know how much cancer sucks. And we all know somebody who's been involved. Who's either had it or lost someone. Let's also remember that breast cancer isn't isolated to just women. It can affect anyone.
That's right. You got to check for your ball cancer as well. Didn't we had those two ladies on not so long ago talking about prostate cancer and breast cancer and how you got to examine yourself and check it out, make sure that you're okay down there and around the titty area. You got to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. Very important. What are the Aussies doing that they thought it would be a good idea to put bee venom in a tit, says Carl. Yeah.
Question. I don't know why I harmed the story by mentioning that, but yeah, there we go. It's done.
No, I think you probably helped. I mean, they'll obviously, long before they make any kind of treatment available, they'll carry on doing some serious tests and they'll have a plan of action and all of that stuff. It's not just some randomized bee stinging breast operation. And just because it comes from Australia doesn't mean it can't be trusted.
Well, you know, it's probably a good place to start not to trust it because we should do more experiments in Perth because they're one of the most isolated cities in the world. So if things go wrong, no one really is going to know. You just put them in Wollongong or Wurrungoa or whatever these ridiculous places are that they have. And we just move on.
Wagga Wagga.
Wagga Wagga. There's some very, very funny name places, particularly in Western Australia. It seems to be one of the best places for coming up with ridiculous names. That and Wales have the longest names available to humanity. Good Lord. I watched Guy Ritchie's movie, the King Arthur one.
Ooh, what do you think?
No, it's good. I enjoyed it.
David Beckham's in there.
Because Guy Ritchie, I know, because Guy Ritchie he's pretty good at making it fast. It, you know, it all happens quite quickly. I loved it. I thought it was really, really cool and very entertaining. So that was my my entertainment on, I think it was Saturday afternoon or whatever. Loved it. Good movie.
Have you got any Squid Game?
You got into it. Finally, someone on the show can talk about it.
So, so good. So good. And just when you think you know the twist, there's another one around the corner. And I was actually thinking when Dr. Hanan was on, what a field day somebody who knows psychology would have watching this show. How your different personalities come out when you're put in the absolute worst situation and you're fighting for your life. Sure, it was really, really cool. Good series.
Yeah. So what's the basic idea is what? People are doing these terrible things for money.
Yeah, it's a game to win a ridiculous amount of money. But if you lose in they're children's games. Remember, this is a South Korean series, and a lot of the kids' games that they had in when they were growing up decades ago have still stuck around. So they end up playing these kids' games as adults. But the problem is if you lose, you get killed on the spot, very, very quickly.
Oh, well.
Yeah. It's just a huge, like, moral dilemma. Oh, well.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I've often said that in the show.
Yeah.
But it does also show you, because we do live in a world now where a lot of people think money will solve all their problems, right? You even hear people in, you know, in politics or in various other places where we consider them to be authorities or responsible for many other people, like lots of decision making and all that kind of thing. You even hear CEOs talking like this. Like, if we could just give everybody lots of money, they'd be fine. But someone who's terrible with lots of money is way more dangerous than someone who's terrible with no money. First of all, to themselves, and second of all, to others.
Britney Spears.
Like, if you're a
case in point.
Exactly. And I mean, really, I got lots of updates over the weekend from people about how she's spun out of control already.
What a shocker.
What a nutcase.
I'm stunned. I'm gobsmacked.
We didn't predict that at all, did we?
Gobsmacked.
What was cool about this thing as well is that it's so much money that it's ridiculous. And you think of Elon Musk, who somebody calculated that if he gave a certain percentage, a tiny percentage of his money, he could solve world hunger. It's so much money that the things that were important to you before, like the little lady at the market who you would have loved to have left a tip for, that it becomes like null and void because you've got so much that you don't even know where to start.
Okay, but what I said earlier stands. If you're a problem, if your life is full of problems and difficult and dangerous and you make bad decisions and you have a track record that stinks and you don't know how to treat people and you're out of control and out of touch, and we then give you $100 million or $100 billion, that's going to make it worse, not better. Like, I hate to point out the obvious here, but, you know, you got all these politicians running around saying, well, if we had universal basic income, everything would be better. You know, people like Andrew Yang in America, he says, look, if we just give everybody a universal basic income of, I don't know, $5,000 a month, which would cover your living expenses, your food, your clothing, your very basic necessities. Anything over and above that would be pocket money and spending money. That's kind of the line he's taking on this. So if governments, or I don't know where he thinks this is coming from, probably governments, gave you that $5,000, which would be what, you know, maybe it's, let me just calculate this quickly, because in rands, you know, it matters. We've got to be able to relate to it. So if we take
like 60 grand a month,
we multiply by around about 50 years, 75 grand a month is a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot.
It's a CEO salary.
Huge. But that's way more than I get, and I'm supposedly a CEO, right? And look, I'm paying myself, but I mean, that's way more than I'm paying myself. And I can't imagine that'll make things better, because if you're a drug addict, for example, now you suddenly have 75 grand a month coming into your account from the government, and now you can buy 75 grand's worth of drugs instead of just 2 grand's worth of drugs, things are going to get much worse. You know what I mean? Yeah.
People drinking themselves to death, partying themselves to death.
Yeah. So I hear these stories and I see these like fantasy worlds that are made up in these TV series like Squid Games. And it just, it makes me very nervous about where humanity's got its priorities placed at the moment. Mm. I asked that though, and I told you about the Guy Ritchie movie because I'm looking for a couple of things. This is the time of year where I get to watch series. I get into it. I don't have to go to sleep extra early because I don't have a day full of meetings the next day. So I can stay up late and watch stuff. And if I get into a series, I'm on Curb Your Enthusiasm. But that's only got a few episodes left of this season. I need to know what to watch. So if you've got any really good ideas, this is the best time of year for you to suggest those TV shows. And let us know what to watch. We all want to get into some cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Squid Game's my thing.
I actually use Rotten Tomatoes as quite a good barometer of whether stuff's good or not.
Okay. Do they actually have like a ranking, top 10 shows or whatever?
Yeah, they've got, you know, professional critics as well as public opinion. So you can either look at what the critics are saying or what the public thinks. But I usually find that a really good barometer.
You know what's getting incredible now?
Rotten
Tomatoes. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes. The quality of podcasts. In terms of the sort of going back to sort of that theater of the mind thing, is just getting so good now that I never get to watch anything. Like, I was supposed to, because I want to go and watch the Eternals movie because my team on the MKT show said no, I don't want to, but the guy said my impersonation of Salma Hayek was racist, so kind of the punishment for that. I didn't think it was racist. I thought it was spot on. But so now I've got to go watch all the Thanos movies or whatever, so I know what's happening here. Mm-hmm. But I just found myself like there's so many incredible podcasts where I don't need to watch anything. I mean, I'm cleaning my house and I've got those in, and it's just like, holy smokes, who did this? I want to wash their feet. It's a whole journey.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm over those superhero movies now. I can't watch another one. I'm so sick of people with special powers. Like, I actually just want to watch a show where there's no one has special powers. Like, where they're all so ordinary that they can't even do basic things that we can do. So I feel like the superhero for a change. Instead of having to watch these people who can shoot lightning out of their hands and fly
I'm
through the air with a cape.
I'm not interested at all in that stuff.
I know. I was into it. I used to love superhero movies. But we've just been – I think we've been completely overdone on that front. There's nothing left. And there's always like a villain who's like the boss of the villain that they made in the previous movie. And then they make the next movie and there's a boss of that boss because they're running out of ideas. And they even bring in, like, I believe this new Spider-Man, they actually have all the other Spider-Men in it because they're trying to make people, because they're not getting better. They're getting worse.
What?
But now they're bringing all the old Spider-Men back. So that they can appeal to all the audiences who've watched Spider-Man over the last 10 years. And I'm not interested in that. Sorry. I'm not that super turbo nerded into Spider-Man that I'm prepared to watch a multi-dimensional Spider-Man where Tobey Maguire and Fuckface or whatever his name is the other one. I'm just over it. I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, we should have a series.
Just me.
We should have a series of a guy who drops his screwdriver under his bed, but his bed is too heavy to move by himself, and his wife has just left him, and he's trying to reach for a screwdriver. You know, and he's do you know that feeling of going under your bed and your bed's against the wall, and your shoulders, you know, I can't get it. It's just out of my reach. The bed's here now, and I can't quite. Yeah. And then also it's too dark in the corner to get another object to pull it. It should just be half an hour of a chubby guy doing that, you know, just an ordinary guy who can't find his screwdriver.
Okay, a couple of suggestions coming in. Let's just do these quickly before we get to Collectomania. So watch Mr. Robot, Yellowstone, The Expanse, The Manifest, the first Die Hard.
Oh, best Christmas film. The only Christmas film. Die Hard. The only Christmas film.
I agree with you. Yeah. Yes. You on Netflix, weirdly good. Oh, my brother told me about one last night. It's called Get Back. It's on Disney Plus. It's the documentary about the Beatles.
Oh, cool.
They've got like hours and hours and hours of Beatles footage, and they've put it together into this three-part documentary series, which sounds absolutely amazing. But I don't have Disney Plus, so I'll have to go and watch it at his house. It's a bit annoying.
Oh, yeah. See, Ozark's there. I've watched that. That was great. Loved Ozark. Dr. Death
Our
on
thing
DSTV.
On YouTube. Big Mouth, Dr. Death, DSTV. How to Be a God in Florida. Sounds interesting. How to Be a God in Florida. Wow. Okay, it is 7:30. It's time for us to check in on Collectomania. Now, Collectomania, as you know, is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And just in case you didn't know, after more than 25 years of the Scoin Shop being in the atrium of Sandton City, if you haven't been to Sandton City, you wouldn't know where that is, but it's like right in the middle. It's where you can look up, look down. It's where they have all their big events, pre-COVID, obviously. And the Scoin Shop was right there in the middle of it. And that was where you would go to buy these incredible and collectible and investment grade coins from the Scoin Shop. But they're moving. They're relocating their head office to the Mark from the 15th of December. The Mark, very, very cool. It's where Saint is, you know, the restaurant where everybody goes. Very, very cool. The Mark, you can go there from the 15th of December. They'll be relocating the Scoin Shop to that golden pineapple. You could see that very, very sexy building that's in the middle of Sandton. And their Sandton City Scoin Shop will continue trading as usual. But the South African Gold Coin Exchange and Scoin Shop are relocating to the Mark from the 15th. So carry on. Go and check them out there. That'll be very, very cool. And today's guest on Collectomania is a guy called Trevor van der Ven. And he told us this. He said, I collect Hot Wheels. You know those little 1-64 scale toy cars? Yes. Scarring the shelves became a problem, such a big problem, that his wife and kids, 11 and 14, have banned him from visiting toy shops or the toy aisles in local supermarkets. He has around 400 cars that are still in their boxes, and they are stored away in a storage facility. He's by no means as prolific a collector as some of the other Hot Wheels collectors, but it's still an exciting hobby because as far as investments go, it has outperformed most traditional stocks. So he joins us this morning. Hey, Trevor, how are you, man?
Hey there, Gareth. Hey, team. Yeah, all good.
Good to see you, dude. So first of all, is it true that your wife and your kids have banned you from going to toy shops?
Yeah, totally. Which is the weirdest thing, because you would think kids, that would be the first, at least when I was a kid, that was the first place I wanted to go when I went to a mall with my parents. But yeah, it's not unusual. If we walk into a mall, the kids say to me, sorry, dude, we're not going to Toys R Us today. Or like I walk into Pick and Pay and they're like, no, let's stay away from that aisle.
But it's amazing. So even though you've got 400 of these things, you still find regular ones in the toy shop.
Yeah. So that's the weird thing, I suppose. Or Hot Wheels, the makers of Hot Wheels, every year release like a series. It's usually about, I guess, 300 to 400 different or remakes of the existing casting. So every year there's potentially a new series. Now, we don't get everything that the rest of the world gets, but the real big collectors will make it their mission every year to collect a full set or a full series of the Hot Wheels.
How expensive are these things at this stage? Just the ordinary ones?
Yeah, so you can walk into any Checkers, Pick and Pay, Toys R Us, and you'll pick them up for between probably around 40 and 50 bucks. So they're relatively affordable. It's probably been one of the things that has driven this collecting as a sort of hobby. I think in the States they've kind of been the $1 toy for as long as anyone can remember. And to my knowledge, even in the States, they are still around $1 to $1.50. In South Africa, inflation has made them a bit more expensive. But when I was looking through my stash on the weekend, I saw, you know, the majority of the ones that I have, I bought at around 15 to 20 rand each. So they have pretty much doubled in value.
So just tell us, first of all, where it all started, because you obviously – these things must have appealed to you as a kid, or did you develop the interest later on in adulthood?
So I suppose it's one of those things. As a kid, you know, I was fascinated with cars. I had a number of these. They were relatively inexpensive toys, and I think any kid out there these days at least has a handful of them. And I had, I can't remember, I probably had a few as a kid, but they all got kind of given away during high school time, you know, when it's not cool to have them anymore. And then probably around 10 to 15 years ago, I walked into a store, and there was one that actually looked quite cool. I've got that little one over here.
Show us that again.
So it's a little Ducati motorbike, which was what caught my eye. So I thought, oh, okay, well, that's pretty cool. And it was 15 Rand, and I thought, well, cool, I'll buy it and put it on my desk or something. But as I took it out the box, it's got a bit of a wobbly wheel at the back. And I thought, no, there's something up with that. There must, perhaps it's a manufacturing defect. And that's where it all started, really. I went down the Hot Wheels rabbit hole, realized that there's this huge collector scene around them, and that, you know, Hot Wheels had this series and they released all sorts of different things. And so that's where it all started. And I probably had about 5 or 6 years where I was fanatical about it. The last 2 or 3, I haven't really. Now I just buy ones that I enjoy, things that I find interesting.
Well, there are lots of questions here that are coming in from people who are listening to us right now. So someone wants to know here, hasn't the quality become rubbish, Ruth? Because, you know, a lot of the stuff is mass manufactured in China, and maybe they used to use better materials earlier on, metals and so on instead of plastics. Have you seen a deterioration in the quality over the years?
I would say lately they've actually become a lot better. They've become a lot more detailed. And I guess the engineering over time has also improved various things about them. So I speak specifically here about Hot Wheels and Matchbox, which are the two big brands. They're both owned by Mattel. And their quality, I think they have quite sort of superior quality standards. So they have gotten better but with that being said, you know, you get 5 packs and 10 packs and all sorts of different things. And some of those are a bit shoddy. Those are ones I've given away, long since given away, and I keep the ones that are pretty cool.
Okay. So, first of all, Christmas is coming up. When you're a collector, people think they can just buy you anything that fits into that category, but you probably have all the ones that they're going to find in the shops anyway. So it's a waste of time for them to buy you these. You don't want people to give you Hot Wheels because you know better than them which ones you're looking for, right? You're just going to give those away. Yeah. I mean, it sounds obvious. Like, people always go, oh, what do we get you for Christmas? And, you know, it's mostly family who ask me that question. And I go, I don't know, buy me something cool. And they think they can add to a collection of mine. It's a bad idea.
I've had that happen on more than a handful of occasions where people, you know, through the goodness of their own heart, they buy you something, but probably it's either something I don't like or it's one that I've already got. So, you know, I suppose it just gets added to the box. I must say in all the years, I've probably only ever given away or sold maybe 10 or 11. The rest I kind of keep. I've got multiples and duplicates.
But the multiples and duplicates, you've got two kids. Do you let them play with those?
No.
Not even. So, God, that is unbelievable.
No, so there are a couple, which I sort of had a set and I would put them aside and I allowed the kids to kind of choose, you know, ones out of that they would want to play with. But interestingly enough, neither of my kids have any interest in them. So there's one Minecraft car I think they took, and the rest,
All right, let's take a look at this collection. Sorry, Leanne, go ahead.
It's so interesting how, I mean, we had someone recently who has a collection of My Little Ponies and that I identify with because I had them, and I think of Barbie dolls and things like that. But I had a guy friend growing up, and I used to love going to his house because we'd play with Hot Wheels and, you know, garages and parking situations and racing and playing with trains on tracks and cowboys and Indians, which is no longer PC. But I never actually thought to myself, maybe I should ask for some of my own cars. You know, you just don't. You carry on getting the My Little Ponies and the dolls. And that's what happened in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. But you did make up for it, Leanne. You made up for it when, because you grew up in the South, when you got your own car and you put spoilers and things on it. So.
Drop it. You got to drop it, the suspension. You got to drop the.
Yeah.
Nice exhaust pipe.
Definitely sorted that out. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good question, though, because, you know, we talk about how guys prefer cars and girls prefer dolls and ponies. But the fact is, there are lots of girls who also collect Hot Wheels.
Yeah. Look, the collector community is still predominantly male, but definitely there's loads of ladies who buy the cars, enjoy them. I mean, at the end of the day, everyone kind of has to drive a car, and some, you know, it's people who enjoy cars are the ones who sort of scour the shelves. So to that end, actually, it's been an interesting one because right from the start, there've been a couple of race car drivers and Hot Wheels, I guess, being part of the Mattel group, apart from the obvious Barbie ones and stuff that have come along the way. They've always released sort of race cars, typically NASCAR race cars, but with female sort of tributes to the female drivers. And so I've got a few of those. I don't know, they're in a box somewhere. And then recently there was also a great series which came out from Matchbox, which was a tribute to the great female racing drivers. And there was one that I found there, so old gray Mercedes-Benz, which I've kept. So, you know, those, I guess those appeal more to collectors, but at the end of the day, yeah, if you're a girl and you enjoy cars, no easier way to sort of, you know, start your collection.
So- Here's a comment. Once you open the box, the value's gone, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So, look, there are guys out there who do take them out of the box and put them on display, and that's fine. I suppose at the end of the day, if they do decide to get rid of them at some point in the future and they're still in mint condition, then they'll retain much of their value. But I think a lot of the value is held in the fact that that they are still in their boxes and considered mint. To a degree.
Right. So let's just look at some of these because you've got some, I don't want us to waste time. We could be looking at your amazing collection. So that's the first, that's the little white Ducati you showed us just now. That's what started you off, right? Okay. That's, so what is this collection? There's a whole box of like different shit here. What is this?
Yeah. so that's, I suppose the, you know, you can start anywhere. And so apart from the obvious ones, I sort of got into collecting TV cars. So things from TV and what you'll have there is Homer's car. There's the Turtles van and Milano from Guardians of the Galaxy. They also have Star Wars Starship Enterprises. Now those are obviously not cars and they're not something you're going to run around the garden pretending to play. So I can only imagine that those were released for no other reason than to sit on someone's desk as a display piece or so. And then, I've got a range of other ones. So Batmobiles, there's the Jurassic Park Jeep, and then I've also got the A-Team van and Knight Rider. So those it's one of the lines that I tend to collect purely because I guess it reminds me of my youth.
It's fantastic. All right, so here's a big picture of half of your collection, and there's one of your kids in the background there. But this is only half of your collection because you said most of the rest of it is in storage, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm not allowed to put them out in the house. They're considered unsightly. So every now and then, this was about two or so years ago, I took them out of storage and started to try and sort them into something. And you could see my son in the background there looking completely disinterested in the fact that I've taken up half the lounge floor. That's about half, and they sort of sorted there into Ferraris, Lamborghinis, TV cars, and whatever else.
So you can't put them anywhere in the house? You can't do a display anywhere?
No. No, no. The best I got was this picture over here. You'll see it behind me. Yeah. That's actually a photograph that I had done by an editorial photographer that I know, Warren. And that was about the closest I got to putting Hot Wheels in the house because at first it looks like a cool picture. It doesn't really look.
Do a lot of your friends and family not even necessarily know that you do collect these things because you can't display them, or does it come up in conversation and they do know? Like, how does it work?
I think, a lot of people know I collect Hot Wheels. I don't think they know to the extent. And I mean, I think you really only appreciate the volume of how many one has when you unpack them out of a box. But for the most part, they're sort of two black storage containers, that are kept out of sight. So look, there's always a few little ones that I've managed to keep around the house. The one is one of the remaining ones from my youth that is always around somewhere. It sort of moves around depending on where someone decides to move it. But, apart from that, you wouldn't really notice that there's, that I have, 400 odd of these things in boxes.
All right, what's this here? Let's take a look at this picture.
So, yeah, that's an interesting one because that relates very much to taking products out of the boxes.
Just hold on. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, so that's one, black Porsche, and you can see it's got mismatched wheels. So the one's gold and the other one's black.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, Mattel are regarded to, widely regarded to have such a high quality control process that something like a mismatched wheel set or, dodgy paint job or something like that can be regarded quite a rare thing to collect. So,
but now what's on the other side of this car? And you obviously can't see. That's so frustrating.
it could have another black wheel. It could have a gold wheel. I'm not sure. There's a range of, there's some people who collect these types of cars, that being one of them. I've got another one here, which is an interesting one. It was basically put together. It doesn't have, I think there is a photograph of it, but it doesn't have any wheels at all.
Oh.
Now that would typically, someone would never buy that in a shop. And they would probably end up throwing it out, but there are people who regard those as being some of the most collectible cars on sale because outside of the box, they could just be some piece of junk.
Yeah.
So it's like a defect thing and the defects actually end up being more valuable than the normal ones.
100%, because they truly are probably one in a million. Whereas something like this is what they call a treasure hunt. You'll see it's got shiny wheels, it's got rubber tires on it.
So what's this one here? This is phenomenal. I mean, this is a really cool car.
Yeah, it's a Pontiac GTO, I think. The point with this is in the late 90s, Hot Wheels sort of identified that there was this collector community out there. And what they started to do was create these little one-offs. So it comes with better paint job. It's got rubber wheels. It's got proper little, you'll see them, shiny mags there. And they drop one of these in every, I think it's 7,000 or 70,000 cars. They drop one of these in a box. And so they become highly collectible so by virtue of the fact that they're delivered with the normal stock, they're often unpacked on shelves. Now, if a kid were to pick it up and buy it and take it home, great, they'll have a good time playing with it. But for the collector, these are the sort of ultimate Hot Wheels that hang out on pegs, because if you manage to find one, it's probably worth a multiple of 10 times what you paid for it.
Yeah, because when I introduced you just now, I said that you've been collecting these for a while and they've actually given you a better return than some stocks do. I mean, like, what kind of value are we talking about for this one that we've got on the screen now?
So the treasure hunts, I have probably about, I've found about 10 or 12 of these myself on the pegs. I've paid the normal price, whatever the normal price was. Let's say I average it out between 20 and 40 rand. So I've paid normal price for them. They sell typically upwards of 250 to 500 rand each.
Wow.
So. If I were to look at my collection, so it's scary when you do the math because, it's far easier to spend 20 or 30 rand when you go do your shopping than if you had to work out what collectively you've spent over the years. But I've probably spent about just on around 9,000 rand on these little cars. But even if I were to exclude all the specials, all the unique ones that I have and sell them at today's market rate. So as I said, I bought most of them at around between 20 and 30 Rand. And if I sold them all at today's market rates, they'd be worth just close on 20,000 Rand already. So better return than if I'd dropped 10 grand into, I don't know.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So what is this here?
That one is just an example. The one on the top is a super treasure hunt. So that's the one with the rubber wheels and the mags harder to see. The one underneath is the standard. So, so it's one of those ones where you really, and that's why I suppose I ended up spending so much time in the toy aisles and toy stores, because I'd be picking up every box, looking at the wheels and stuff.
I wouldn't know the difference. I'd basically pick that up and then I'd say to one of my nephews, here, I bought you a little toy car. And I wouldn't know that I was holding on to something that was 5 times the value or 25 times the value of a normal one. I wouldn't know.
Because it doesn't say anything on the packaging, right?
No, nothing. So there's no identifier now. In the past, they used to have a bit of an identifier on the package, which made it a bit easier. Nowadays, cool.
Dude, this is so cool. What an awesome thing to collect. I just wish that you had some place to display them. You're going to have to buy a secret house and have a secret family where you can display your stuff.
Well, I don't know. Maybe my time will come. There was someone told me about a guy who I actually went to go see just a few weeks ago. They said, you must go see Dave. He's got this amazing collection. So I thought, okay, cool. I'll pop out and go and have a visit. He's down there in the south. And so I drove through and he's an empty nester now. All the kids have left the house and he's literally turned the 3 bedrooms. So I think he had 3 kids, 4 bedrooms. So he's turned the 3 bedrooms and his garage into a display unit. He's probably got 3,000-4,000 cars. Easy. And they are literally everywhere. So who knows? That's perhaps so cool. One day.
Yeah, and why the hell not? I mean, what else are you going to do with your time and your money? You've got to have a hobby. Some people don't have any hobbies. They're usually boring people. Probably end up alcoholics. Of course, I'm generalizing. But you've got to have something that you're passionate about. I just love this. Trevor, it's really nice to meet you this morning, and thanks for sharing your collection with us, dude.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me and for everyone's questions on the side. Yeah.
No, cool. Sure. There's so many. Yeah, so many other questions we just didn't have a chance to get to, but I appreciate your time. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Cheers, dudes.
Awesome. There's Trevor van der Ven, who is our collector for this morning. He collects Hot Wheels. How awesome is that?
Van der Ven should have been.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, if you are looking to become a collector and you want to start off with something that's investment grade, then go along and visit the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. They're actually moving their head office to the Mark in Sandton from the 15th of December, but that doesn't mean that the Sandton City Scoin Shop is going anywhere. That will continue trading as usual. Make sure that you go and visit both of them, but you can also go to the head office and see what they've got. Some very cool stuff there. I think it's amazing. I saw an ad. In fact, my mom found it in the newspaper the other day, because I don't read newspapers, for some coin or medal or something fair that's going on somewhere here near where I live. And I thought, sure, I'm going to that. So this week sometime, I'm going to go and see what they've got on sale there. Go and check out the old coin collections and so on. Should be fun.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. By the way, great new location. I got to tell you that Mark is
a good.
There's the Leonardo in that mix there. There's Tash's. Mm-hmm. There's a great. So that shopping center is awesome. Great location move. Yeah.
Very Mbulelo place.
I was there on Saturday. Quite right.
Yeah, you see.
Therefore,
Leanne, I sent you pictures over the weekend because I was at my aunt's Christmas shop. Which she was doing for the special festive season. She sells all kinds of cool stuff there. And I sent you pictures of some Ardmore things.
I didn't realize that you knew the shop owner. I thought you had just happened upon them. That's yarn. Yeah. Love that. I mean, there you see how pricey they can be, but you can see why. I mean, the amount of work and hours that goes into those.
That's nice stuff.
And just the imagination. There was an amazing big tortoise that I saw in one of the photos.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I love is, like, I wouldn't have even noticed those things if we weren't doing Collectomania every week and yeah. I didn't know that your mom was collecting them, because otherwise it would have just been stuff in a shop. Now, wherever I go, I'm seeing stuff, and I actually got into a conversation with my brother yesterday about all his action figures, and he was telling me about, like, these rare ones that he found on the internet this year since we did the episode with him that are worth, like, so much more than if he'd bought them, you know, if he hadn't bought them 2 years ago, he'd be paying, like, 4 or 5 times the price for them now.
Yeah.
So it just shows you that these things are really pretty fascinating. Anyway, Tash's isn't that just a Steers that sells organic food, says Corona.
I mean, I don't eat a Tash's. No, let's be clear. I don't eat a Tash's.
That's
very funny.
Pikachu says, I collect empty dog food tins. Please let me know if I can also share my collection. No, I think we'll leave you out.
We never know if these people are being serious or not, you know?
No, I don't think
anything.
That's
goes.
Too retro. Yeah, that's almost too edgy.
Yeah.
It's almost too edgy.
Hmm. Robin says, good investment. You could buy a real car now for all the money that you've saved on those little cars. That's for Trevor, a message for him. All right, everybody. Well, I've got to go out now and not do anything interesting. I've got to go and buy a new plug for the stupid Comrex, because I think that's the problem. And then we'll be back to normal tomorrow. But remember, we are doing the show until the 24th. That will be our last day of the show. So stick around for that. We have loads of really cool guests every single day right up to the 24th. Is booked up chock full of interesting and cool people, some of them well known to you, some others who are going to come in and wow you for the first time. So stick around, we have got lots on the agenda and on the menu at cliffcentral.com.
Nice,
all the way up to Christmas. Nice, but
we just want to party. We'd like with the boys. I'm with the boys. Yeah, the boys are here, and it's a vibe.
We spent so much on accommodation. I love that video. And we've got to try and squeeze Greg in at some point too, because I'm sure people want to hear what his thoughts are after that video of his went viral yesterday. All right, have a happy day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Be good. Cheers.
CliffCentral.com